brought in my little device. So I want to talk about something. A lot of times when I talk, at this kind of forum at least, I'll talk about things that are more conceptual or machshava, just our beliefs. Yiddishkeit, I'll talk Yiddishkeit. Seldom will I talk about something halacha l'maisa. It's just, I don't want to bore everybody. But there's sometimes you come across topics that are extremely important to talk about, and they encapsulate both halacha l'maisa and broader machshava concepts that we believe in. And I believe it's also important, helpful, relevant, when you can take a shmooze and not just internalize is very important, but when you can practicalize, when you can put something into practice. It's a word, it's not a word, it doesn't matter. It's what I'm trying to accomplish. To put a shmooze into practice is priceless. It's priceless to put a shmooze into practice. So, you know, obviously everybody's not here. I'm expecting everybody to be here. But this is something everybody needs to hear. I really do. It's extremely important. The guys from my morning prayer, this will probably be a waste of your time, as is everything else, because you heard it 1,000 times already. But 1,001 Kinner. Sometimes you hear things in the morning you've never heard before. But this you probably heard before. So there's a pasuk, if you get up to it, it's a very exciting parsha. Extremely exciting parsha. But there's a pasuk, if you get all the way to the end, if you really study the parsha, you get all the way to the end, you'll encounter a pasuk that sounds very familiar. And it might be. There is definitely familiarity with it. That's the one that you're more familiar with. But there's two different versions of that mentioned at the end of this week. That's in Veschanon, later in the Chumash. And there's a strange word. That the item that we're discussing doesn't really have a name. You have to wrap a sign on your arm. It doesn't really have a name. There's no name to this item. And the totafos should be between your eyes. Totafos is a strange word. So Rashi defines totafos as 4 chambers. So the one chamber you tie onto your arm, and the 4 chambers you put on your head. But this item doesn't have a name, and I think it's extremely important to notice that this is a nameless item. And then it says, in a different place, this week actually, earlier, the first place that this item, this nameless item is mentioned, it doesn't call it totafos. It calls it v'hayalecha la'os al yadecha ulezikaron bein einecha. So it should be a sign on your arm and a zikaron, a reminder, on your head. It's not even called the four-chambered item. It should be a reminder and a sign. The nameless item. A sign, Chazal Darshan, Ayadecha is L'chala'os, should be the Yewish sign. And the one on your head is L'acherim. The nations of the world see it and they fear Klal Yisrael. They respect, they understand what Klal Yisrael is. So it's a sign to us, that's the os, and the zikaron bein einecha to others. But it didn't tell us a sign about what? A reminder of what? What are we remembering exactly? So you get, like I said, at the end of this week's, a very exciting parsha. And it says, V'hayilcha la'osa yotcha ulizikaron bein einecha l'man tia Torah Hashem b'ficha. L'man means so that. So that you should have the words of Torah on your lips. Ki b'yarcha zoko tziyacha Hashem Mitzrayim. So ki is, I think, the relevant answer we're looking for, because it's a sign that because God took you out of Egypt. So we're remembering that Hashem took us out of Egypt. Okay, so you put on the sign, and in the sign, inside the chambers, it talks about that God took us out of Egypt. Okay, that's nice. I don't know why it's so crucial, why it's so vital to have this attached. Again, Mikra Din, you're supposed to wear this the whole day. We paskin that Lila's also Zman Midaraisa, also loves, also Zman Tefillin, Midaraisa. Midarabanan, we don't. But Midaraisa, you could and you should. Midaraisa, we don't. But this is really a 24-6 mitzvah. Shabbos is loves Zman Tefillin. But it's a 24-6 mitzvah. He's supposed to wear all day and night, Midaraisa, to remember Egypt. I'm saying Egypt's important, but Psalm boring? And also, the pasuk is very hard to read. If you really, really try to understand, if you're interested in really understanding Torah, so you read, it should be a sign to you, Leman tiyeh Torah Hashem b'ficha, so Torah should be in your mouth, so that you should remember Mitzrayim. There was a major parenthesis in the sentence. The Leman tiyeh Torah Hashem b'ficha, randomly inserted, it has no place in the sentence. The sentence should be a reminder to remember, I took you out of Egypt. What's Leman tiyeh Torah Hashem b'ficha? Well, it doesn't even fit in the sentence. You should put in parentheses. So, the last Rashi in this week's Parsha, it's a very hard Rashi. I find it extremely hard. I don't know what he's saying. I'll tell you what he says, but I don't know what he's saying. Rashi says three pshatim, but he doesn't say he's saying three pshatim. He says three different explanations of the word totafos, but he doesn't tell you it's three different explanations. I don't know if it's one, I don't know if it's three. You look at other commentaries, the Ibn Ezra, the Ramban, it's clear that they're multiple and arguing interpretations. But in Rashi, it sounds like one long flow. It's a very hard Rashi to understand. So Rashi says totafos, the first pshat, really the second pshat he says there, is four chambers, like we said. The third pshat he says is the word totafos means speech. Comes to the word al-tatif, we call it a pasuk, speech. And he says that these items, these nameless item, is a talking point. When you see the item, it's supposed to spur conversation. And the conversation is supposed to spur is talking about God took me out of Egypt. Okay. And then the first pshat he says, one word. One very familiar word. But we got to think about this word. He says one word. He quotes Unkelus. Unkelus translates the word totafos, one word. L'chaim. Tefillin. Says Unkelus tefillin. It's Aramaic word. I don't know what it means. It's Aramaic word. And it's strange that he translates it as tefillin, because the previous pasuk that we read says you have a os al yadecha and a zikaron bein einecha. So in that previous pasuk, he translates in Aramaic the word zikaron as it should be translated, not tefillin. What's tefillin? Who made up such a funny word? Tefillin. The pasuk never mentioned, addressed, spoke about tefillin. So what does that mean, tefillin? So I'll tell you one more Gemara, and then I'll share with you what I think is very halachah l'maisa. Rabbi Kiva Omer, it's Gemara Menachos. Yachol yaniach adam tefillin b'shabbosos v'yamim tovim. I might have thought a guy should put on tefillin Shabbos Yontif. A decade ago, I had a guy in a different yeshiva, and I spoke about tefillin, and I got him into it. I really got him into it. He came back, it was right before Pesach break, and he told me he had a terrible story. He was in a hotel for Pesach break, and he was so excited, and we went to Poland right before that, and in Poland, you hear a lot of tefillin stories for some reason. They love tefillin, like smuggling tefillin into Auschwitz kind of stories. And that's what they used to smuggle back in the day, Lahavdil. So he got so riled up about tefillin. So he said when he went to the hotel, he came down the first day, he was excited to put on tefillin, he put it on, and the rest, he said he was looking around, there was a bunch of goyim he was davening with. He was the only guy wearing tefillin. A bunch of goyim, he was sitting with these Jews. He looked at them like goyim. He's the only guy wearing tefillin. And then somebody went over to him politely. They thought he had like Alzheimer's or something, this young guy. He said, Yontif, you don't wear tefillin on Yontif. He never knew. He never put on, not Wednesday, not Thursday, not Yontif. So it's all the same. So I told him, that's a great shot. The Gemara has a Havamina like that. That's the Gemara's Havamina. Yachol could be, I would have thought, that he's supposed to put on tefillin Shabbos and Yom Tovim. Talmud Lomar, what we learn, it says, V'hoya lo'os al yodecha. Doesn't say anything about Shabbos. V'hoya lo'os al yodecha. And we darshan, Mishit Tzrichin Os. You only wear tefillin if you need the sign. Yatsu Shabbosis V'yom Tovim Shehein Gufon Os. You don't need that sign on Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos and Yontif, you got the sign flying everywhere. What are we talking about? What do you have on Shabbos and Yontif? Shabbos and Yontif is, I know you're saying Kiddush Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Somebody sits on Shabbos dreaming about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why on Shabbos do you have this sign? If it's Yetzias Mitzrayim that we're referencing, what are you talking about? You don't have the Os on Shabbos or Yontif. You with difficulty have it when you're wearing tefillin. Nobody even heard of that before. I'm talking about it now, that you're supposed to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. So with tefillin on, you don't have it. Kol shekin, without tefillin on Shabbos, What are we talking about? So today, Baruch Hashem, a few more hostages got out, and I noticed in the news, Jewish media, I think, also non-Jewish media, but also Jewish media, that was happening the last 3 weeks. In the beginning, I appreciated it, and then it confused me, and by today, I'm angry about it. I'll tell you what it is. When the hostages started coming out, and I think this was even months ago, when the first hostages were released, you started seeing on the news articles, people writing up stories about that they were malnourished. They weren't fed well. Now, I looked at the pictures, forgive me for saying it out loud, some of them, they looked pretty good. You know, I've seen, you know, those commercials about, you know, kids in these countries, and you gotta send like 39 cents a day, and malnourished kids. I've seen pictures, videos of malnourished kids, and to me they didn't look malnourished. So why are they writing malnourished? Okay, probably because the doctor checked them out and they're malnourished, lacking vitamin A, vitamin C. Okay, fine, good to know, I guess. I don't know why I needed to know that, but good to know. And then more articles started coming out that they were also, you know, it was a hostile environment and they were in solitary and talking about the difficult conditions that they had over there. And in the beginning, I just thought it was like, okay, it was much worse than I thought. Okay, but why are they talking about, why are they harping on this? I was a little confused why they're harping about this. And as I saw the reports continue to come out, I started to wonder, and this is, again, forgive me if maybe I'm not thinking about this the way I should be, but I started to wonder, are they putting out these reports as if they seem to be implying that if they were fed well and taken care of, and they were given an Xbox and they had TV and they had good food, then it's fine? Are they putting out these stories because they want me to have sympathy and maybe anger towards Hamas that I wouldn't have had otherwise if I didn't hear these reports coming out? Are they putting out these stories because if I'm going to find out that they were treated well, then I'm going to say, send them back? Well, why are they telling me these stories? I know it was terrible. I know it was horrific. I don't care if they're malnourished. See, you're adding like icing on the cake. You're adding a cherry on top to tell me, as bad as you thought, they also didn't feed them well. I didn't think they fed them well. But I don't even need that. I don't need icing on such an ugly cake. Who wants icing on such a disgusting cake? The cake itself. They were in captivity. And if you've gone, you know, if you haven't gone, you might see this year if you go. There's something, a crazy phenomena called Auschwitz I and Auschwitz II. If you go, they're going to take you, they take a lot of non-Jews, the tour guides over there, they take you to Auschwitz, if I'm not mistaken, they take you to Auschwitz I. Auschwitz I, you walk around over there, and it's brick buildings with bunk beds, mattresses, but bunk beds, brick buildings with heaters, protection from the elements, and dining rooms. And you walk into these buildings, and you think to yourself, that's just not how I pictured Auschwitz, I'll be honest with you. This is like, I don't know, it's not Mevaseret dorms, but there's yeshivas who have dorms like that. That's not, you know, I wouldn't go to the yeshiva like that that had dorms like that, but that's not far off from, I've seen yeshiva dorms like that. And this is Auschwitz? And like, that wasn't so bad. And that's where their tour guides take you there. So if you have a good tour guide, he'll make sure, he said, no, this is where they take the non-Jews to show them, you know, this is, I don't know, Polish propaganda, Nazi propaganda, that they take the visitors to Auschwitz I. Go to Auschwitz II. Go down the road. Go to Auschwitz II. You know why they don't take anybody there? There's very little left. Before the Nazis were thrown out, Yimach Shemon V'Zichron, they burnt the whole place down. There's nothing to see. Half the barracks don't exist anymore. The gas chambers are crumbled. There's very little to see. You go there with a good tour guide, and he'll tell you what to see. He'll tell you what to imagine, what was going on over there. But it's a scam. And you walk into Auschwitz I and you say, this was the Holocaust? This is what they're crying about, 6 million Jews? Not so bad. So I feel like sometimes these news reports come out, and as if they're trying to make captivity worse than I imagined. You don't need to make it worse. You really don't need to work so hard over here to make the situation worse than I already know it is. Because this is Sfarno. He writes about the first mitzvah that we're given also this week, Tachodesh Ezelechem. The Sfarno writes, Mikan ve'elech, from today on, when you got this first mitzvah, to be Makadish the Mum, to bring out Rosh Chodesh, when you got this first mitzvah, Yiyu ha'chadoshim shalachem, the months will be yours, la'asos bohem kirtzon chem, to do as you please. You'll be able to live your life. Aval bimei ha'shibur, but in the times of the shibur, of Mitzrayim, in the times of slavery, lo hayu yameichem, you didn't own your days. Lo hayu yameichem shalachem, you're not in control of your days. Kibo, on this day, on the first month that God's giving us, that God's allowing us to control, Kibo, hiskel, mitziyuschem habachiri. Your free choice begins now. With the first mitzvah, Chodesh Ezelechem, Hashem's telling us that I'm taking you out of slavery, and only now we become pro-choice. We become people who have liberty and freedom to decide our fate and our future. But until then, captivity means, forget you have no control. Nobody's asking your opinion. You're not entitled to make a decision. When you're in captivity, is as bad as it gets. There's nothing worse. You don't live. You're not alone. You have nothing. Captivity is the bottom rung of all the worst atrocities you could do to a human being. Everything else is icing on a very ugly cake. But the cake is so ugly because you're not living life. You can't live life. You can't be yourself. When you're captive, you can't be yourself. And the Sfas Emes says, when it says L'chol L'os, it should be, tefillin should be for you and os, he says it should be for you and os. It means it should be for you an os. It should be a sign, l'cha. It should be a sign about who you are. We walk around this world and you look in the mirror and you see a lot of physical. You see a physical creature and you blend in with all physical features of this universe and you feel connected to all physicality and you relate and you think and you talk only about physical things. And says the Sfas Emes, this is a sign, l'cha l'os, for you to remember, you're not physical. That's not who you are. It's an illusion. The Torah writes, v'nikroin tefillin, the reason why it's called tefillin, lashon plila. Plila in the Torah means edus, testimony. It's edus shehashchina shore aleichem. It's testimony when you put on that tefillin that the Shekhinah resides on you. The Shekhinah does not rest or access or is interested in physicality. The Shekhinah is only connected, because that's what it is, spiritual, sheb is spiritual. It's a dava ruchni that can't even try to connect to physicality, which is finite. The Shekhinah sits on beings that are only ruchni. And tefillin means this is testimony of what you are, that you're only a dava ruchni. So I can remember that. I feel like I can remember that. That I'm chosen. And I'm ruchni. And I'm not like everybody else around me. I'm not like the physical universe that surrounds me. I'm different. And I'm spiritual. And I'll remember that. I need to put the four chambers and the one chamber, this nameless item, on my head, on my arm. What do I need that for? So I took my shiur a few weeks ago, a few months, to one of my rebbeim. I didn't learn by him a long time. I learned by him only a couple shiurim, but he's a big rabbi of mine. You're familiar with him, I think, on the wrong platforms, but you should continue to learn about him on those platforms. But I'm not a music guy, but I heard a couple of shiurim from him. So a friend of mine, Nissen Black, is a friend of the shiur, who went to his house a few months ago, and he said a line. I'm still thinking about this line. I still wake up to this line. He said a line a couple months ago. He said, when you become a Jew, you know, he became, but we also become. Every day you become. When you become a Jew, you have to realize, every day you wake up is a battle. Every day you're going to war. Not scary, not pressure. You have to know. Every day's a fight. Every day's a fight to improve your midos, to be better than you were yesterday. Every day's a fight to do a mitzvah a little better. Every day's a fight to develop, to enhance your kedusha. Every day's a fight to climb a ruchni ladder. And if you understand and you experience that every day's a fight, then you got to hear these words. And that's why I asked a few guys to come downstairs just to hear the words I'm about to read. You got to hear these words. Writes the Svas Emes. You know why that little praise in faith, you know why that little phrase in parentheses is in the line Lamanti Atoris Hashem Beficha? Says the Svas Emes like this. Eino yachal liskos l'Torah. It is impossible to have Torah. Now we struggle with this. We say, I'm not connecting, I'm not developing, I don't see progress. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you feel that way, why you might feel that way. Eino yachal liskos l'Torah. It's impossible to access Torah. Now Torah is a davar ruchni. Ruchni, kulo ruchni. It's not physical. You talk about a Shavas Aveda, you talk about Shnayim Olsin. These are spiritual concepts that we're dragging into a physical world. And they manifest in the physical realm as Shnayim Olsin, and Hare Elu Shalom, and Chayv L'Hachzir. But this is a purely spiritual entity. So Eino Yachol, how could it be a physical person could access a purely spiritual realm? He can't. Eino Yachol Liskos L'Torah, Mishibur Hateva. You have to leave physicality. You have to leave the entire realm of physicality. What does it mean? I have to float out of my body. I got to have an outer body experience. I have to sit and do all kinds of meditation and yoga. What is he talking about? Vitzara kol adam leida. And every person needs to know. Ki ha-mitzvot shenasan lanu Hashem yizbarach. At the mitzvahs that we have, bifrat, and specifically osan shenikru osos, specifically the mitzvahs that are called signs, heim po'alim, they work. These mitzvahs work. They have an effect. Ukimosha adam meiniach tefillin namata, when a person puts on tefillin in this world, verotze lotzeis mishibur haguf, and he wants, by wearing tefillin, to leave his physical existence. Kimokin hashoresh bishamayim. So his root upstairs, it's yotzei nishmaso v'nafsho. His soul is uprooted, umiskasher el hakedusha, and connects fully, entirely, without mechitzas, to the purity of kedusha. And so you understand, on Shabbos, where you're fully enveloped in a place, in a time, in a space that's called Kulo Kedusha, where the Gashmias of Shabbos is Ruchnias. On Shabbos, there is no Gashmias because Kol Kulo Ruchnias. You don't need tefillin. But in the Monday and the Tuesday, when we're enveloped in a physical reality, you can't survive without tefillin. And this is the only reason I asked a few guys to come down. Because it hurts me sometimes, a lot of times, if I care about you, which I do. It hurts me to see guys come late to daven. You're going to give up this opportunity. You could talk to the boss. The boss is waiting for you. He wants to hear what you have to say. He likes your opinion. He values you. What you have to say is important to him. He really, he stays up all night, waiting for the moment. You walk into Shacharis. Oh, L'chaim, he's here. Amazing. L'chaim conceptually, L'chaim literally. All the L'chaims. He's so excited. And you drag your legs in 10 minutes late. So that hurts me. That hurts me. Okay. Hurts me. Hurts the boss upstairs. Okay. You'll live. Come late to davening. People come late to davening. You live. Davening is called for 7:55. It means ishtabach. It means shmon esrei. It means whatever you want it to mean. You come late. I'm not giving mussar. I'm not giving mussar. I don't give mussar. I'm telling you a reality. I'm telling you a truth. So you come late to davening. You miss an opportunity. You don't want the opportunity. Okay, you miss the opportunity. So it hurts me. It doesn't kill me. But it really kills me to see people come late to tefillin. How do you come late to tefillin? So Shachar is called 7:55. And in our society, in our culture, in our world, how we practice Yiddishkeit, that means tefillin starts in our the way we practice our Judaism. That means because we don't wear it all day, and they assign that time, 7:55 is also the time for tefillin. And don't start being weird. Don't start being weird and putting on tefillin random hours a day. You're not supposed to be weird, and nobody's interested in you doing weird things like that. There's an assigned time. And the time is assigned. You get there early, you can put 7:45. You want to learn, 7:30, you can put on even 7:15. And that's the assigned time. And you come at 8:05. And I always wondered, and I'm speculating, but I'm confident. I always wondered, how come some guys have an amazing spiritual experience, uplifting, their whole lives change when they come to Eretz Yisrael for the year, for 2 years, and other guys not? And I'm telling you, I'm willing to bet the farm, not a lot of chips, the farm. Watch how long they wear tefillin. Watch how long they wear tefillin every day. And you will see, without exception, that's his ruchnius development. A guy who wears tefillin an hour a day, he's going to fly, he's going to soar. Why? He becomes ruchni, a physical person. Ein o yochel. To be involved in spiritual pursuits, ein o yochel. He's not able. It's not something wrong with you. You're great. We're all great. Everybody's great. We were made in a body. It's the body. The body's dragging us down. All we do when we're sitting at Shachar is dreaming about breakfast. You're dreaming what's for breakfast, how many waffles, do I have to push to get a pancake? That's all you're dreaming about. Is that terrible? It's miserable. Because you live in a body. And you listen to your body. And you're a slave to your body. And you're meshubah to your body. And everything your body wants, it pulls you in all directions. And I can't get rid of my body. And Hashem says, I'll take you right out. Put the chamber on your head. Put the chamber on your arm. And tie it tight. Leman, so that tiye toras Hashem b'ficha. You have an outer body experience throughout the rest of your day. You're going to elevate and uplift and connect to a spiritual existence for eternity. For eternity. It works if you wear it a minute a day, for sure. 2 minutes a day? For sure. But I think you know how to count. I think people know basic mathematics over here. I'm not asking you quantum physics. 1 + 1 = 2. And 2 + 2 = 4. And 10 + 10, we could keep doing this. We could keep walking down first grade over here. And how are you going to tell me that a guy who wears tefillin 60 minutes a day and elevates himself to a ruchni world, and a guy who wears tefillin 5 minutes a day and also elevates himself to a ruchni world. How are you going to compare these two guys? And after a week, you do the math, now it gets complicated. After a week, you're talking 60, don't hold by Shabbos, don't be like that guy in the hotel, 6 days a week, 6 × 60 and 6 × 5. And after a month, 25 × 60 and 25 × 5. And after a year, if I would say minors and majors, I'm saying an absolutely terrible mushroom. I'm talking about a kid who got a wiffle bat in kindergarten, who has the wiffle ball on a pole, and he's struggling to make contact, and a guy who's batting 400 in the majors, the home run king, he won the triple crown, a guy who puts on tefillin 60 minutes a day, he soars in ruchnius, he rises up. And 5 minutes a day, I'm not belittling. But you could do 60. So you want to come late to davening, you miss an opportunity. And it hurts me that you don't value the opportunity. But you come late to tefillin? You come late to tefillin? You're missing your whole life. Your whole life you lost. Tefillin gives you life. Eternal life. In this world, in the next world. It connects you to everything Rukhni. How you come late to tefillin? In Chabad have a practice, they run around putting tefillin. I think most people think that Chabad's practice, I don't know, I never spoke to the Rebbe. I think most people assume, I always assume, the practice of Chabad comes from a place, because the Gemara, a scary Gemara, if you want to scare yourself, but Karkafta de lo monach tefillin, it's called. About a Jew who doesn't wear tefillin, very bad things. The worst punishments, I don't want to talk about. The worst punishments, shouldn't apply to anybody. Jews who don't wear tefillin, the worst, not punishments. Let me just say, because I said punishments, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. They're disconnected from the infinite. And since they're disconnected from the infinite, so they're disconnected from the infinite eternally. And I don't want to say what that means. It means not good things. But it doesn't mean anything worse than disconnected from the infinite. Because without tefillin, you're just disconnected from the infinite. And you're disconnected from eternal forever. I'm not going to talk about this tomorrow. So people assume Chabad runs around putting tefillin on Jews because, God forbid, they shouldn't be disconnected. And does that mean every day? Does that mean once in a lifetime? You learn the Rishon. That's what people assume. That's what I always assumed. But then I realized, you think Chabad, they're just walking around trying to save Jews? For sure they would. For sure they would. They think the Rebbe, that's all he was interested in, just saving Jews? Like, just bare bone, you know, getting hostages out of captivity, just the bottom, step one. You think the Rebbe, in all of his greatness, was only interested in step one? I don't know the Rebbe. I never met the Rebbe. I one time when I was in first grade, got a dollar from the Rebbe. And my parents put it on my wall. It could be from the Kedusha of that dollar. I came up with this idea. But by me, there's no way that the Rebbe was satisfied with just saving Jews. The Rebbe had much more in mind. And the Rebbe understood. And if he didn't, so I'm saying it. I understand, and the Tzfas Emes is saying it. And he understands, and the Pasuk is saying it. And Hashem understands, and Hashem is saying it. It's not just that you walk out of this world as a karkafta demon of tefillin. But tefillin is the gate to all spiritual achievements. And the Rebbe was interested in opening the door. You find a Jew who never wore tefillin, he can't get in. How is he going to enter the world of Ruchnis? You slap a pair of tefillin on that guy for a couple minutes, the door opens. And once the door is open, and the Jewish neshama wants to flourish, he'll find a way to flourish. We treat mitzvahs sometimes not the way they should be treated. Kibbutz av ha'em is not the way it should be done. Kibbutz av ha'em should be done on a much loftier level. Tzitzis, much loftier level. Davening, much loftier level. The Gemara says there are things that omdim berumo shel olam, they hit the peak of the heavens. And b'nei adam mezalzalim behem. We treat them, we demean them. That's a lot of mitzvahs. I'm not talking about mitzvahs. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about every mitzvah. The person wants to connect to the Rabbanu Shalom. If a person wants Lamanti at Torah Hashem Beficha, the person wants that his neshama should have a good chelek, a big chelek, a strong chelek in eternity. You don't come to tefillin late. Davening, I'm not bothering you. Do whatever you want with davening. You don't come to tefillin late. 7:55 is davening. You want to come late to davening? Come whenever you want. It's not for tonight. You don't come 7:56 for tefillin. 60 minutes a day. And we daven long here. I don't know if you love it. A lot of guys don't love it. My consolation when it's a long, painful davening, at least I wore tefillin 60 minutes. Sometimes only 40, 45. But today the chazan dragged it out. Oh, it was painful today. Oh, it was a miserable day of davening. One consolation, whew, extra 15 minutes of tefillin. I wouldn't let that go. You want to put on a couple minutes before? Amazing. Amazing. Don't get weird and put on different times. Don't get weird. Don't get strange. Do things when they should be done. And I'm telling you, if you feel you're struggling in Ruchnius, I'm betting the farm, the whole farm, because Hashem promised us only in a few small places, Leman it says, Leman tiyeh Toras Hashem b'fich. You want access to that? Shkaya Kitchens.